Before we dive into our fourth Sunday of Advent and we hear the very famous story that you've already heard Will read just a bit of, would you pray with me as we open our time together? Holy and gracious God, I thank you for the gathered body of Christ that is both here and around the world that is worshiping you today and every day. Would you bless our time together? Would you bless our worship? Bless our intentions. Guide us in the way that is pure and true and holy. All this we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, we have made it. We've made it all the way throughout this season of Advent, and we're so close, but just like tiptoeing up to the story that we wait every year to hear, that you will hear on Christmas Eve. And as we get there, we've all probably been in this Christmas season, in the Christmas spirit, hopefully. My husband and I just watched our first Christmas movie. We're a little behind this year. We have a lot of other things happening. If you haven't noticed, this is actually my last Sunday here with you all before I go on maternity leave. And so it feels like there's this much to say in this little time, in this season that we're together. But as Creighton and I are watching The Polar Express, have you seen it? Yes, of course. It's a favorite. As we're watching The Polar Express, I kept going over this word that, of course, is in our scripture today, which is believe. Right? As soon as one of the children is about to enter into the train, each ticket, it gets punched in a certain way where the words become revealed over the whole movie. And at the end, one of the key words is believe. In the same way with the bell that rings, that is like the absolute theme of the whole movie. At the end of the movie, the goal is that you start to realize that the spirit of believing is something that you have to embrace and lean into. Because at the end of the story, there's a bell and it rings, and it doesn't ring for all, is the way the narrator puts it. Is that some over the years, the bell has fallen silent. And for others, the bell still rings true. And so as we were watching it and I was looking over the scriptures this week, I just couldn't help but keep thinking about that way of belief. The way of trust. The thing is that the world as it is gives you a smorgasbord, a buffet of options to pick and to choose from. What will you believe? And we've spent Advent talking about truth, really, right? That's how the Gospel John writer starts his gospel, is this is true God from true God, true light from true light. Right? Jesus, begotten, not made. That's what you hear in the creeds that we say every Sunday. We say it because it matters. And because in the smorgasbord of things that you can choose to believe in this world, that we here as the community of Christ, is that we stand firmly on the fact that we believe in Jesus. We believe this whole story summed up in this one, what looks like a book, is true and it changed everything. That it's the real events, that they've shaped us, they change us, and that if only we would engage with them, if only we would believe. Believe. So that the proverbial bell at the end of our lives, when we ring it, for us, for the gospel, when we live our lives, when we see it at the end, that we still hear it ring. We still hear it ring true and loud and boldly. That's really the goal of this life. And so as I was looking at our scripture reading from today, I wanted to bring you something that came about 700 years before it, because it's cool. And that's because the prophet Isaiah actually already wrote what you heard or are going to hear written in Matthew today. You see, 700 years before Jesus, the prophet Isaiah, who you've heard us talk a little bit about, he is a guy who came in a really hard time for Israel. And he came bringing out this message of hope in the middle of darkness. That's how God works. God doesn't wait for darkness to lift in order to enter in. God enters in every single crevice, bringing light, illuminating things that looked way too shadowy, that we were way too skeptical about, that we never saw a way through. God is there. And so for the Israelites, that's really good news. For all of us, it's good news, but especially for them because they have been in this ebb and flow of trust and distrust with God, Okay, the main salvation story for the Israelites is the Exodus, right? With their deliverance from Egypt. And then as time goes on, they sort of believe, and then they sort of don't. If you put it in the Polar Express context, right, they can hear the bells sometimes, but not always. And there are some generations that they don't even know there's a bell. There's some generations, they're so lost, they don't even really know who to hope in anymore. These are the people that Isaiah comes to. And this is how it goes in chapter 7, like right at the beginning. It says this. Then Isaiah said, "Hear now, you house of David, is it not enough to try the patience of us mortals? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel." This is the first time Emmanuel is ever written in the Bible, and it's from Isaiah 700 years ago to people who are in the dark, gloomy pit like of life. They don't know which way is up and which way is down. They don't know when exile will end. They don't know where they're headed next. And they come and they hear from this guy, Isaiah, a promise. A promise. You see, the thing about promises is that there are two parts, right? The giving and the fulfilling. And so many of us, myself included, are dissatisfied when we don't see part two, right? We're all for part one. There's a lot of hope in giving a promise to someone. But if part two never comes, if the fulfillment never happens, well then, we feel foolish. We're left standing there, empty-handed, with nothing to see, no substance, no reality. But that's not how God works. The gospel reading you heard today from Matthew carries on like this. "She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." And all of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet Isaiah. "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. You see, the gospel writer Matthew starts in that way to connect it together. And it reminded me of this trend I saw recently on Instagram, of all things. And it was this trend that was basically describing, "Little did I know." And it was basically this revealing and this reflecting over maybe your year or over your life of the things that have happened. So let's say you selected a college, right? And then at that college, you met your spouse. And people are, what they're doing on social media right now is they're saying, "Little did I know," right? Selecting X college would lead me to Y relationship or friendship, which would take me to this city, which would take me, and it's a way, it's natural, right? It's a way of reflecting over the choices and the things that have been brought into our lives, the things that have happened maybe to us and the things we've happened to. But if you take a step back and you think about it, you think about it in scripture, you think about it in the framework of faith, we think about, little did Israel know. Man, if they only could see what we've seen. They heard this promise. They have this expectation. But you and I, we get to sit here on December 24th and see part two. Remember part two, which is the fulfillment of that promise they were very first given. Little did Israel know that salvation would come in the form of a baby. Little did we know that when that little baby entered in Bethlehem and was born, little did we know that a cross would be involved in the story. Little did we, it's, you see this how people are using it. It's just to reflect, to notice that really the things we think we have control of, the things, the plans that we have blueprinted, so seldomly is that all there is. It's never just that. God never just stays within the blueprint that we draft, praise God. And I think if I gave you 30 seconds to sit there and think about what would be your moment, you know, your little did I know, right? Little did I know that I would meet this person, or little did I know that I would get this opportunity, or little did I know that I would battle this diagnosis. This is life. for all of us. And it's real. And you see, the thing is, if you start to think about it, and you think, most of us think, thank God I didn't know. Thank God I didn't know. Maybe I would have changed something differently. Or I would have worried more or worried less. And the difference for us as Christians is that God enters into those moments. Those moments. When Mary is met with the angel that we'll hear in just a second, and then later she meets her cousin Elizabeth, they have this beautiful encounter. And it's this moment where, as we talked about in the John the Baptist week, where she basically says, Elizabeth, about her son John, who will this child be? And it gives me like goosebumps. Maybe that's because I'm 9 months pregnant, but who will this child become? Right? Right? There's this hope of the future. And the thing about the future is that all of us, we're always collecting. We're always collecting like data and experiences and evidence and these memories, and we're using them to hope. We're looking backwards in order to look forwards. We're looking back at Israel saying, follow the Lord. If you don't, it will go this way for you. We're looking back at Israel saying, there is deliverance coming. In order to look forward and say, he will be born. He will be born among shepherds. Wise men will seek him. He will actually be enthroned, but in a manger. In the most unexpected things, we look backwards at the manger in order to look forward to the cross. And we look backwards at the cross to look forward to the resurrection. We look backwards at the... Do you see how this goes? That we're always, always holding on to something as Christians that can help us know how to move forward. We're looking backwards. Little did we know that this is really how the story would start. In the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent an angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man. His name was Joseph. He was a descendant of David, and her name was Mary. The angel went to her and she said, greetings. He said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this would be. But the angel said, do not be afraid. You are to conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord our God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over Jacob's descendants forever, and his kingdom will never end. And how will this be? Mary replied, since I'm a virgin. And the angel said to her, the Holy Spirit. You hear that? That's how the whole answer starts. How will this be? Like you see those bumper stickers and they go like, but God. How will this be? The Holy Spirit. That's how it all starts. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. And the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. She who was said unable to conceive is in her 6th month. For no word from God will ever fail. Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. And the angel left her. Immediately at that time, Mary got ready and hurried down to the town in the hill country of Judea to greet her cousin Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the Lord of my God would come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. And that's what I want you to hear, that last sentence. Blessed is the one who believes the Lord will fulfill. Like, blessed are you who believe there's a part two. Blessed are you who believe that the story has not ended in shadows, in gloom, that days don't always look like this behind us. Blessed are you who know the vibrancy of the sun, the warmth of the sun on your face. Blessed are you who hope in something that is coming far beyond what may be current, what may be broken, what may be cracked, what may be incomplete. Blessed are you who hope. You see, the beautiful thing is that Mary hears this and receives this amazing revelation from the angel. And I don't think, I can't imagine, that it's Mary's certainty, positivity, and her blueprint that this is how it was going to roll. I just don't know. I don't know that I think that. I think that Mary is just as surprised as many of us, and both filled with the Holy Spirit, though. Right? But at that moment, she's receiving all of this, the sensory, the person of the angel who has come, God's presence with her. And at that moment, Mary can choose to believe, to trust, to faith, that's the Greek word underneath believe, or not. And we're given her as an example. Blessed is the one who believes. Blessed is the one who trades the buffet of options for the Lord. Blessed is the one who trades everything popular for everything true. Blessed is the one who trades everything that's blank space and shallow and frail and fragile and impermanent and temporary for the one thing that will last. You see that Mary, she's one person, but she reflects the call of us as Christians. This decision to believe. And at the end of the watching the Polar Express, when Creighton and I were discussing it, you know, as upcoming new parents, we were talking about the way that the parents are depicted in the movie, watching their children with the presents. And the way that they can't hear the bell anymore in that example. And I think about all the people I sit with in pastoral, we sit with in pastoral ministry. We sit with them in the last minutes of this life. We sit with them in the last days, the last hours. And I think about everything that must be going through their minds, looking back at this reel of life. And I think about all the times that if I were with one of those congregation members and I was in maybe their hospice room and I were to say, what would you fill in for your little did I know? Little did I know life would be this good, many of them tell us. Little did I know God's peace really does surpass all understanding. I don't even understand. Many of them tell me, little did I know it can be this true. The hope of the resurrection doesn't just start on Easter Sunday. It starts way back at the beginning of a promise. And decision after decision, life unfolds, and little do we know where it will take us. But we do know one thing. Just as Mary has the opportunity to choose, just as you have the opportunity to choose, your response, your next step, the response, the option that is right here, focused on Jesus, is to believe. Blessed is the one who has believed that the Lord has said this, and it is true. Would you pray with me? Holy and gracious God, you've done the unthinkable, the merciful, the graceful act of sending your Son, of taking on human flesh, becoming incarnate, becoming one of us, being the most human, the most beautiful reflection of offering us belief in something real, true hope, true love, true peace, and true joy. May it be ours, for little do we know where this life takes us, just as Elizabeth, but the Holy Spirit, we trust that your Spirit is active and is among us and is present and is never leaving us. No matter what shadows or darkness already exist in this world, you don't wait for it to lift. You enter into it now. And you have been here all along. We lift up our worship and our intentions and our hopes in this Advent season as we near the birth, the fulfillment, this completion of a beautiful promise once made. All those who pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.